You're listening to the Why Big Football Show, the Irish soccer show by the fans for the fans. If you want to get involved with the show, advertise, or even sponsor, drop us an email to theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter, @theworldstalking, without the G. We'll chat to you soon. Enjoy the show. Well, Giovanni Trapattoni has named his squad for the friendly against Serbia. It's the first time the lads have linked up since their ill-fated Euro 2012 championship, and Trapp has once more gone with the tried and trusted, and Mark Wilson for that matter. We're going to be looking ahead to Ireland's chances in the World Cup qualifiers against the might of Germany and Sweden. This is the Why Big Football Show. I'm Dave O'Grady. Now, to kick things off, we're joined by our usual suspects, John O'Neill and Joe McCarthy. John, you're quite passionate every time you're on the show. Were you quite angry about Trapp's selections this time?
From the squad, for the Serbia squad?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose, yeah, there's some good and bad parts of it. The good is, I suppose, Wilson, Coleman and McCarthy are the positives. Mark Wilson, the main one, because he fell out with Trapp a lot of times and there was communication problems. On the bad side, I suppose, Kieran Clark not getting a look in, Wes Hewlett, maybe Shane Duffy as well, might be a bit unfortunate to get in. Maybe the likes of Warren, kind of McShane, who proved possibly that we could do a replacement for them. But overall, I think we're going to tell mostly about the squad. Whatever about picking the squad, it's who actually plays on the pitch.
Yeah.
We found out a lot of things didn't work. That possibly knew that already. We were very stale in Poland. We were found out well. So is he going to actually change players in the midfield, or is he just picking these players kind of in the squad just for the sake of it? So it's about the game time that the new players get. That would be the crucial thing as to what, you know, if he has them in their plans for the rest of the campaign.
Yeah, indeed, John. It sure will be interesting to see. And we're also joined by Joe McCarthy of the Irish Abroad website. They track Irish players overseas and beyond. Joe, this is no doubt a busy time for yourself and the lads who work with you on the site. No doubt with transfers going left, right and centre, more so with the Irish players moving across the water.
Yeah. Usually around this time of the year, it's a case of taking the time to go through all the squads for each team, making sure everything's up to date and just preparing for the start of the new season. You know, you get a lot of help from the forums. You know, you get a lot of lads will post transfers as soon as they go through, and then also we'll let you know about lads from the youth or reserve sides being promoted to the senior team or getting new contracts. But yeah, looking forward to the start of the new season now, and you know, hopefully we'll see some new players breaking through.
Indeed we will. And we're delighted to be joined for the first time on the show by the cheekiest chappy in the land. He pops up everywhere these days at all sporting events in all shapes and sizes. And when we talk about Ireland's chances, nobody knows better than the man himself. Paddy Power, thanks a million for joining us.
It's a pleasure to talk to you finally, lads. I don't know about the cheekiest chappy in the land. I thought a few photographs coming back from the Euros, a few cheeky chappy bits.
There is indeed. Now, first things first, Paddy, I know you're a big Ireland fan, and I know, you know, going into the Euros, the odds were pretty much against Ireland. But at the same time, I know Paddy Power did show some enthusiasm with a lot of the special offers, the money back specials and that you guys were doing. But you're probably surprised yourself at Ireland's performance at the Euros.
Yeah, you got to be. I mean, you got to be disappointed as a fan. Another thing is, I mean, I don't buy into all this kind of that the fans shouldn't enjoy themselves when we don't play well. I mean, it can't be part of the. You just can't legislate for conceding a goal in the first minute of every game you play. You know, I mean, that just doesn't happen, no matter how bad you are, how good you are. And it just happened to happen to us this time round. So Trapp's game plan is all based on being tight at the back and all that kind of stuff. And you concede an early goal, I mean, that goes out the window. So I mean, we weren't as bad as we looked. Do you know what I mean? Or we're not as bad as we looked at the Euros. And the fact, I guess, that the winner and the second place team came out of our group, which is a kind of a very, very teeny, weeny, weeny bit of consolation. But I think getting there was amazing. I mean, we all remember now, suddenly we remember what it's like to be at a major championship, and it is bananas, isn't it? I mean, it's not like winning at rugby or winning at any other sport. When we qualified, I was in town that night when we qualified, and it's just like forgotten. I just forgotten how bonkers the place goes. And I mean, and that's something to be embraced and to be enjoyed rather than to be given out of it. I mean, we're not going to be winning World Cups or winning Euros and probably in my lifetime. But I don't care. I mean, I just want to see us get there and see us compete. And you know what? Who knows? Just who knows? We might just get there. And I'd be relatively optimistic about the friendly. I like the fact that some of the older heads weren't picked for this friendly. Because I think we need to kind of build and move on. And just like have a long-term view on things.
Yeah, John, I was talking to you there off air before we came on the show, and you know, looking at Ireland's chances, I suppose, earlier before the Euros, especially with a lot of the bookies like Paddy Power and that, I think everybody had Ireland as, you know, the least favourites to get out of the group and, you know, to finish bottom, which they did. They kind of really got it right on all ends, but you were quite optimistic in your betting.
Yeah, well, it was kind of, it was more of an insurance thing. I had £100 on Ireland to get out of the group. I think it got 5-1 somewhere, and it was a free bet with that as well. So the idea was, if we got out of the group, I would have had about £750, I think, to get to Ukraine from there. And if we didn't, which we didn't, obviously, I just go home and kind of take it on the chin. So it was kind of an insurance thing. But I was still, like everybody, had the hope that, you know, we can get second place. When you think back to the hopeful stage before a ball was kicked, it's kind of hoping we could possibly turn over Croatia. We got a draw against Italy, man, the last day. Nobody was really expecting to get anything to do with Spain. But, yeah, I mean, I think we were second favorite, or the second last team in the betting. And that turned out to be the case, yeah. The bookies don't usually miss a trick. But I still... you know, overall, still very disappointing the way we played as well.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, Paddy, for the Euros as a whole, for the company, I suppose it was, you guys had a lot of money back specials and that. Did you find many surprises throughout the entire Euros?
I have to say, as a tournament, okay, if you just put the Ireland thing aside, it was an amazing tournament. It shows what, I know that they're about to destroy it, like, but I mean, or make it worse, I think, possibly it wouldn't be to our favour. We might qualify again for the next one. But I just think that there wasn't a single game was quality. I thought it was an amazing tournament to watch. Really, really enjoyed it. From a work point of view, yeah, I mean, like, we getting Germany beat was massive. Like, Germany were backed by just about every dog in the street by Germany. So it was, like, even Spain winning wasn't so bad. It wasn't as bad as you would have expected going into it, you know. And I just think, going back to our group, I mean, we all thought that Italy were shambles. And they end up getting to the final. So, I mean, it just shows. I mean, it's like quality's quality, and the same teams do it again, in and out, every year, kind of competition in, competition out. So there's obviously something mental in there as well, and obviously having a strong league has a lot to do with it. But, yeah, I mean, as a tournament, from a bookie's perspective, you'd say there was a couple of surprises along the way, and it was probably a decent tournament for us outright, really. As I said, getting Germany out of the money was the key to it, but... It was enjoyable. I mean, as a football fan, I mean, it's better than a World Cup, I think.
Yeah, and Joe, I'll put that point to you. I mean, a lot of people do mention what Paddy said there. You know, it was kind of better than a World Cup in terms of the standard of the football that's being played. Is it going to wreck it now, adding more teams? Of course, it strengthens Ireland's chances of getting through, but what do you make of that?
Well, I think one of the reasons that people say it's better than the World Cup is that, you know, there's a higher standard. I think if you look at the average ranking, of the teams that are at it, Ireland were actually one of the lowest outside of the two hosts. Ireland at 18th in the world were one of the lowest ranked sides there. When you start bringing in at the World Cup, like when you start bringing in teams from, say, from Asia, from Africa, even from North America, you're looking at clubs or countries that are ranked further and further down the world rankings, the FIFA rankings. So you see, you know, a lot of teams go there and end up, you know, on the wrong side of absolute hiding. I mean, we all remember Germany beating Saudi Arabia
8-0, yeah,
in our group back in 2002. And you know there are, you know, a lot of results like that tend to happen, especially in the group stages. And it's only when it gets into the knockout rounds that the quality starts to come through. With the expansion of the Euros now, I think, you know, even at 18th, we would probably be in the second, third tier of teams that would qualify for the Euros. But it's like, again, it's going to see more teams, more lower ranked sides coming to get qualifying for the tournaments. Well, it'll probably dilute the quality a lot, although not to the same degree, I think, as the World Cup.
Hopefully, with a bit of luck. And Paddy, you know, you mentioned the quality of games was unbelievable, and that was, I guess, reflected across the betting markets as well, which, you know, I think there was 6 players tied in the top goal scorer market. It really was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a complete pain in the backside, to be honest. I wish Torres hadn't passed. If he hadn't passed to Mata and just scored that bloody goal in the final, we'd have been laughing, because it caused consternation, to be honest, because that's the way it works for the top goal scorer. It's all that it's whoever scores the most goals is the winner. So there's a big dead heat at the top. And of course, then people back Torres are saying, well, hang on, he got the golden boot. And we're saying, well, actually, do you know what? It's a dead heat, because all the lads are back, the other guys who are tied. So it was a real pain in the backside for everyone. But again, that was all Torres' fault. Once more, we can bitch about Torres. But there you go. But I think it was incredible. I mean, who would have thought Richard or Sean Ledger would be our top scorer?
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, I have to say, the one thing that took out of the Euro, well, a couple of things that took out. First of all, I think that I felt really sorry for some of the Irish players that didn't get a run in the last game. Do you know what I mean? I really thought that, why not? We're out. Let's give them a go and let's just put some of the players on. And they've been to the tournament. It's a dream for anyone that played for, it's something that only happens like once a generation type of thing that we get to these tournaments. So I thought that was a little bit shoddy. I mean, I wouldn't be a fan of just putting on someone for the crack. But when you're out of the tournament, then you may as well. You know, I mean, I don't think it made a big difference at that stage. And at the tournament as a whole, I thought that some of the players really stood up. I thought, like, Ronaldo was amazing. I thought he really stood up in the game they got knocked out. But he wasn't quite as good as he wasn't. But some of the others, he just bossed the games. I mean, Pirlo, it never would have crossed my mind that he'd be one of the best players of the tournament. And Spain, I mean, it just shows you don't need strikers, do you?
No.
Just scored 4 goals in the Euros final with no strikers, but there you go. But it's, I think it was an exhibition of football. It was great.
It's unbelievable, absolutely. And I guess, John, it's a fair point regarding, you know, it's a pity we didn't get to see more of the Irish players. We only got to see a little bit of McLean and that. And any punters would probably, they wouldn't be able to back a really good player like McLean to score a goal, because with Trapp, he's so predictable. You were never going to see him on the pitch, really, were you?
Well, probably not enough, no. That's a fair point of what Paddy was saying there about seeing more players maybe in the last game. But I think you couldn't really change in the competition. So for the kind of credibility of the competition, if you were seen to change your team like that, with Trapattoni kind of the Italian connection as well, you'd have to kind of put your full strength team out. Now, we didn't necessarily have our full strength team on the pitch, but if you change it for the last game, you might get in trouble. But yeah, McLean... when he played him against Spain, I think it was just kind of almost to get the media off his back or to get the pressure off. And he threw him in when we were a couple of goals down. I thought it was a bit unfair. He should really be trying to blend them in to get him as a regular player, a regular part of the team, and used to the squad and being in it. And Duff hasn't got long to go. And McLean is definitely the standout replacement for left wing. And there's good competitions for the wing as well. Obviously, Robbie Brady, hopefully he comes through at United or if he goes to another club. But that's the thing, yeah, I don't know if McLean is going to make him part of the team properly. But we'll just have to wait and see.
We will indeed, John, and hopefully we will get to see James McLean, a lot more of him. Paddy... The green Paddy Power pants made their debut at the European Championships when Denmark scored. I mean, I think it probably took a lot of people by surprise. Where did you just come up with that one?
Yeah, the lucky pants, they worked for Bendner, didn't they?
Yeah.
We had to find someone mad enough to do it. But so he scored. I wouldn't mind. He scored the first goal and he didn't do it. And we were like, I can't believe he didn't do it. And then he scores again and shows his pants, which was great. So obviously it caused a bit of consternation. Like, in fact... It was probably, he got $100,000 fine for it, so we paid his fine from, we paid $100,000 of the fine to UEFA now. And you put it in context, racial abuse got a $15,000 fine, so wearing a pair of underpants is far more serious than abusing people racially, but there you go, that's UEFA for you. So it was, yeah, I mean, it was a bit of fun, wasn't it? I mean, it didn't, like, it was absolutely harmless, didn't interrupt anything, it was cheeky. I mean, they were lucky, they clearly were lucky because he scored a goal, and anybody who supported Arsenal when Bendner was there, and a bit of sundown as well, would say he needs a bit of lucky pants to score. But he's now my favourite player anyway, obviously. And it was a great bit of talkability about it. We're probably not too popular with Michel Platini and UEFA, but I guess that doesn't, we're not going to lose too much sleep about that.
It certainly is, Paddy. And, you know, they banned, I think they banned the Vuvuzelas, but sure, you guys brought a gigantic Vuvuzela to the Euros. And, of course, you did a lot of work with the Irish players. And I think it was John Aldridge and that. We were talking about this bandwagon that kind of got behind Ireland going to the Euros. Well, I suppose it was probably fair to say you guys were kind of driving the bandwagon, or at least filling up the tank with fuel.
Well, in one way. Now, to be fair, yeah, we got Stephen Hunt alive. I thought he was unlucky not to get a game over there. So we got Stephen Hunt alive, first of all, to launch originally before they went off. And then on the day, what we did was anyone who's going in the camper van, we thought we'd give them 100 quid worth of petrol in their camper vans. We took over the garage on the keys in Dublin there. and for a day, and Aldo came along with Ray Houghton, and they had a ball. God, they had an absolute ball. They loved it. All the fans, they're all the mad camper fans. It was perfect for it. If some of the lads had driven up from Cork to fill their tank with 100 when they drive back to Cork, cost them 200 to get there and back. But they're all gone off to Euros. Everyone was so excited, and it was one of those days. It was a great day. We got about 100 or 200 fans. I think it was about 100 fans through, and they all went to the garage. There was queues of people that didn't care at all. They were all like singing the songs, and the press were there, and it was just it kicked it off nicely. And you know what? It's just such a shame. I regret it forever that we just didn't get a result in the first game, you know, because it just would have made, if we had one of those make or break nights, it would have just been amazing.
Yeah, Joe, you'll probably go along with that. We really did need one of those make or break nights. And, you know, we would have, at least as the Saw Doctors would have said, you know, to win just once would have been enough. I mean, it would have really made the Euros. I mean, as we were saying, it was a terrific party. It's just we didn't show what we could do on the field.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me now, especially because it was my first time at a tournament following Ireland. And I think anyone who went to any of the previous tournaments to Italy or to Germany or to the States or to Japan, South Korea, you know, they still have these wonderful memories of actually, you know, of great results. Whereas I think that's the one thing that was missing from it. You know, and on the other hand, you know, I remember especially the night after against Croatia, being back in the main square, and it was a great night out, and there was great banter with the Croatian fans, and I think if we had won, you know, probably never would have ended.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And lads, I suppose looking ahead to the World Cup qualifying draw now, Ireland's chances, John, I'd imagine we'd probably be, a lot of people are saying we'd be third behind Germany and Sweden. And of course, you know, Austria and Kazakhstan are always going to be tricky.
Yeah, they're tough places to go. And the first game as well, after the Euros, it's not ideal. It's certainly not ideal for a fan's point of view either. But yeah, to be honest, I'm a bit worried about how the campaign's going to go. I'm not sure how much is going to change. I don't think the system is really working at the moment. I think we've definitely got players coming through. We've talked about them a lot on this show before. Whether or not we get to see them, it remains to be seen. I don't know, I think we could do with some sort of fresh impetus. The 4-4-2 seems slightly outdated, the way we play. We're kind of a bit predictable as well with the wingers. Duff tends to play on the left, or on the right, and McGeady on the other side, and they both come inside. We don't seem to have a plan B. But I think Andrews doesn't get enough, he's not told to get forward enough. Now, thankfully, he did it in Poland, and we saw him come up, but he just couldn't finish off the chances. It's a very tough group. Germany, Sweden were the best runner-ups in the qualifying campaign for the Euros, so they're going to be tough opponents. I mean, everybody knows how good Germany are. So, and I mean, there's no real easy game except possibly the Faroe Islands should be 6 points. But I'm not overly optimistic, unfortunately, about the campaign, but we'll just have to wait and see.
And Paddy, you know, from a betting point of view, no doubt you guys have Ireland in third seeds again, you know, most likely to finish third behind Germany and Sweden, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I mean, to qualify, we're odds on not to qualify, unfortunately. We're 2-9 not to qualify, but 11-4 to get through. So you never know, stranger things have happened. Like, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be totally pessimistic just yet. I mean, the circumstances might fall apart. Well, you'd like to think we're better than Austria, Kazakhstan, the Faroe Islands, but certainly Kazakhstan and the Faroe Islands anyway. But but Sweden, I mean, Sweden, you can't be too worried about. You got to take your chance against Sweden. Germany are obviously different gear to the rest of the group. They're 5-1 to win the group. Sweden are 5-1. Then Ireland are 10-1 to win the group. We take Cumann second, I'd say.
We certainly would probably take Cumann second. And I suppose, Paddy, you know, regarding Trapattoni's squad selection, would that affect odds now? As John was saying, it's going to be the usual. It could be so predictable. We're going to see the same players that the tried and trusted by Trapattoni, that he might not freshen it up like he kind of said he would. That would affect, no doubt, the whole betting industry really as well.
I'd love a small impact, but the reality is, I mean, from Ireland's perspective, I don't expect that we're going to see like millions of quid on Ireland to qualify or Ireland to win the group or anything like that. But as and when the games happen, I mean, we all know as fans and as punters whether to get behind them or not, you know. And you know, if he does stick with the same old crew and he starts getting results, it'll be worrying, because in a couple of years' time they'll all be a couple of years older, and they're not looking away. There's nothing new there, so I mean, I hear the fears of the lads, and I hope Trapattoni takes a bit of a chance on it now. I mean, he's earning plenty of money. He should be able to just go and say, look, let's lay down a legacy and let's look back in even 8 years' time or 10 years' time and say, like, geez, fair play to Trapattoni. He started on this route. Whether we qualify for this or not, I think we've got to build for the future.
Yeah, Joe, build for the future. We've spoken, I don't know how many times we've mentioned that on previous shows, and Trapattoni at every press conference, he'll make the point that he wants to make sure we don't lose, and that's why he's keeping the players that know the system. He's more inclined to go for players that are more willing to do what he asks them, more so than take the ball and use initiative and, you know, apply a bit of kind of ability. It's probably fair to say he'd rather a player fulfilling the role that he asks him. And do you think we will get changes?
Obviously, we're not going to see any changes for the Serbia game, but he did name check Shane Duffy and Robbie Brady as players that he wants to take a look at. Unfortunately, the under-21s are playing a qualifier against Turkey, and so they've been released to play in that. That's obviously taking precedence over it. I think he's been slow, all right, to integrate new players into the squad, even into the starting 11.
Absolutely, and two minutes, Joe, you know, at the end of a friendly isn't really integrating. It's probably fair to say.
No, it's not. I mean, at that stage, you know, you're hardly even likely to break a sweat. I think a lot of players as well. I think of his trusted players are starting to come to that kind of retirement age that you don't really know how well you can depend on them. So it might be a case of, you know, integrating new players could be forced onto him. Just after the squad was announced, you know, a lot of people were complaining about players that weren't being called up. And then obviously they came out about the under-21s. So I just had a look through the database that I have for the site. You know, players say they'll be younger than 30, but still they will be ineligible for the under-21s. And to be honest, there's not a lot there that aren't in the squad. I think Kieran Clark, maybe Joey O'Brien, Barry Maguire, who we've spoken to before,
yeah,
and Anthony Stokes, Noel Hunt, really would probably be the standout names. Even if they were brought in, you know, you wouldn't really see, maybe long term, you wouldn't know if they'd be, you know, even into the starting 11. I think mentioning the players that he's mentioned was probably good. You know, that he's at least keeping tabs on him. I think I read as well that he mentioned Sean Scannell, who's just after moving for the new season. And I think he was involved in the B game against Scotland, against Nottingham Forest,
yeah,
a few years ago at Dalymount. I'd hope that he'd bring in new players, but I mean, you know, if you're going by, you know, the evidence, you'd wonder, you know, how likely that is and how many there's going to be.
Exactly, indeed. And Paddy, I suppose before we let you go, we just have to quickly mention about the Premier League over in England is starting up. Are we likely to see any more cheeky stunts by Paddy Power?
I'd say if I was a betting man, which obviously I am, I'd say you'd be likely to see one or two little things going up. Yeah, I mean, if he, as and when the opportunities arise, we'll stick our necks in the line as we always do. But yeah, we're looking forward to starting again, because you're spoiled with good football during the summer, aren't you? Then when you see some of it come back. I mean, I know it's like the Premier League is obviously higher profile than the Aircom League and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to Premier League starting back, to be honest. I think it'd be interesting to see how City can build this year and see if they are. If they are going to be the powerhouse we all think they might be.
Yeah, indeed. And I guess a final point, Paddy, on just the League of Ireland. At the start of the season, when we've seen the success of Shamrock Rovers last season, things aren't really going to plan for them. No doubt you guys would have had Shamrock Rovers as favourites going into this year's season.
Yeah, you would have had. There's been a few surprise packages, of course, this year so far in the league with Sligo and that as well. So yeah, I mean, but it's unpredictable. I guess if it was easy, no such thing as bookies, it would not be terrible.
Indeed. Well, listen, Paddy, thanks a million for joining us on the programme. Keep up the good work, and we hope to see some more of those green pants at some stage throughout the season. Thanks again.
No bother, cheers.
Yes, cheeky man, Paddy Power there. He's a gas man altogether, it's probably fair to say. Lads, I want to just take a step back, and we touched on it earlier, of course, the friendly. We've never really emphasised the friendly so much on the show, as we always described it as the building block to the World Cup qualifying campaign. But I thought, lads, it was crucial when this squad was announced for Friday, because firstly, I was surprised, John, that the FAI have drafted this in so that they could have it. They gave an address as well, so it was very early squad selection as there always is, but there was four players in the Ireland squad, and you mentioned them earlier, that a lot of Irish fans weren't too happy about, and that was unfairly or not, you know, Paul McShane, Paul Green, Keith Tracy and Andy Keogh. What did you make of this? I mean, these are the guys that Trapp sees as the future, whereas I suppose Paul Green is about 29 or so now. I think he's got a good move to Leeds at the moment. Do you think this is unfair criticism of these players, John?
Well, I think it's probably warranted. It's not someone's criticism of the players. I mean, it's not their fault. They're not the ones picking it. It's just in terms of the future, the vision for the team a couple of years down the line. When you've got the worst thing, if there wasn't players there which were better, which could come in the future, you'd say fair enough. But I think there is, and there's other players that should be getting the chance. You know, Green, you know, for the effort, I don't think he's the standard that other players could do a better job. I mean, people say Wes Hill, for example, oh, he's too old, or, you know, he's a late developer, he's with Shells. I mean, he's proved himself for Norwich to be very capable, good footballer, creative footballer as well.
And fast.
Yeah, just speed as well. But a very good pass of the ball. He can kind of dictate a game, and he could definitely do a good job for us there. But we're not having a look, and people say, oh, well, people who kind of trying to vindicate Trapp say, well, look, he's old, put him in, or he's oldish, in late 20s, is late, put him in. Keith Andrews was a late developer at the international setup. Paul Green came out of nowhere, really, when he was at Derby to get a run out from Trapp at Town. So that excuse doesn't really add up. And it's almost like he's... Trapp just doesn't like to do what the mainstream kind of people are going for. He's very sticks to his guns, and he won't let anybody else or the media tell him what to do, and he'll make a point of putting other players in. Andy Keogh, we know, I don't really think he's up to it either, compared to the options we have. So I think that's the most frustrating part, and the fact that the other players, like even the ones like, say, Wilson, Coleman and McCarthy now have been called up to the squad for the Serbia game. Are they going to spend any time on the pitch? Are they going to, you know, get a feel for it? And because that's what you need, game time. And are they going to be looked at for the actual campaign to use him? Because he's a good player. So he should, I mean, James McCarthy's got an awful lot of caps. I think he's played the most Premier League football, maybe the second most out of the whole Ireland squad over the last 2 or 3 years. Coleman's a very capable player as well. Mark Wilson has a lot of experience in the Stoke team, left back regularly.
And for a young lad like Wilson, and that to have that much experience, it's got to be beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely, and I mean, you're not talking about throwing somebody in here who isn't used to the position or isn't used to playing at a high level. He's been playing at a very high level. And Ward, I mean, I'm not sure. I think Wilson is definitely a more capable player than Ward. And you know, Ward was called out a few times, I thought, in the Euros as well. So Wilson and like Clark as well, Kieran Clark and got called up. I mean, you've got Darren O'Dea, you've got Paul McShane at the back, and you know, really like Clark, you'd imagine would be more capable, and even if he's not playing regularly for this club, he's still a more capable player. And he tends to pick a lot of club will pick players regardless of what they're doing at club level. If he likes them, he likes them. So, you know, you can't use the argument that he's not picking a player because they're not a former club, because I don't think he really monitors that situation. So, but I think, yeah, that's the most frustrating part when you know there's other better options available, but they're not getting picked.
Yeah, and Joe, just on the point, you know, I know Stephen Ireland and Wes Houlihan was mentioned to him, and he said that the reason why he didn't want to pick them was because they're too like James McCarthy. Now, I'm not sure about yourself, but I wouldn't necessarily consider James McCarthy as a player like Stephen Ireland or Wes Houlihan. You know, those central type players that like to get forward at every opportunity and almost arrive as a third striker in the box.
I was a bit surprised by that myself. You know, obviously I watched James McCarthy a lot over the last 2 years at Wigan, and you know, he tends to sit a lot deeper than that, you know, in front of the defence. He does dive forward and to help the attack. Maybe that's where it comes in. I was thinking as well, the last time he played McCarthy against Uruguay, that was the role he played him in. He played him behind the striker. And that kind of in the hole, and he didn't play well. He didn't see a lot of the ball, and he wasn't really able to impose himself. He wasn't able to play his own game in that friendly at the VU Stadium. So I don't know. I'd be a bit concerned about if he starts against Serbia or even against Kazakhstan. You know, where will he be playing? I thought he was the obvious replacement for, you know, Keith Andrews, who's suspended against Kazakhstan and isn't in the squad against Serbia because of that. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see there.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It's not his position. Sorry to come in there, Dave, but James McGarty, that's not his position behind the striker. He hasn't played there, and well, I don't think I've ever seen him play there. So you have to wonder, is Trapattoni watching these games? I mean, he's improved a lot for Wigan over the last year. He's got a lot more confidence in centre midfield, and he can pass the ball around. And he sits in that position where Trapp likes Wigan Anders to stay anyway. And, you know, that's where he plays. So you have to wonder why he's playing behind a striker. So it's very strange.
It's very bizarre, yeah. We're delighted to be joined by James Carew of Pogue McGoal. James, thanks for coming on the show. This whole thing about James McCarthy being a second striker, we've seen him playing in that position against Uruguay where he didn't see much of the ball at all. But, I mean, it's probably fair to say, James, as John was saying, James McCarthy is an out-and-out central-type player. He's defensive. He's mobile. He breaks down opposition's play in that. That's probably the best position for the moment. I think when he started his career and when he was with Hamilton, sometimes he played in a more advanced role behind the striker, but he's a central midfielder, surely.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. It's just baffling again. It made the point during the week that only Trapattoni could name a squad with relatively new faces like Coleman and Wilson, and who we've been calling for months, and nobody's excited about it. And I think it has much to do with some of the guys he's had in before, like Kyo and these guys who just don't cut it. I would have preferred if he had just cut some of these guys loose, and then this idea that McCarthy is a striker, I don't know, it's very baffling.
Yeah, I mean, John, like, it's fair to say that, and, you know, we've seen the likes of Andy Keogh and Paul Green and do a job for Ireland in the past, and most like a lot of times it was in friendlies, and we've even seen the likes of Keith Tracy in there, but these guys aren't doing it at club level. But again, as the point is made, Trapattoni doesn't go by club form at all, really, does he?
No, he doesn't seem to pay much attention to it. Like, just on Keo, mate, I just don't think he's going to be up to it, really. And from a midfield point of view, really, like, Will and Andrews, I mean, you know, they're supposed to be there. Like, I'd like to see McCarthy and possibly Hill. I know we're not going to see Hill, but I mean, I thought he could have been drafted in a good few months ago just as backup and then bring in. Obviously, you can't change it, everything straight
it's
away.
It's a pity to think that a player that skillful, and I know I've seen him, I followed Norwich quite a bit last season, and I followed them as well when he firstly moved from Blackpool. He actually moved down a division because he believed they had a lot of potential to get to the, you know, longer term, and the quick feet of him, you know, he's quick, he's skillful. It's a bit sad to think that he'll never get his chance with Ireland, and by the time he does, he might be too old, or that he could be past it.
It is, yeah, and it's not as if we've got superstar midfielders there playing ahead of us. Like, we're very predictable in the middle as well. So really, it's a bit unfair in him that he's not getting a chance, considering the performance he's putting in and the level he's doing it at. And like, an argument might be that Will and Andrews are used to it, so we need to keep the system, or, you know, stop teams. They're not, maybe he's not defensive enough. But I mean, we got torn apart in Poland, realistically. We got torn apart in Moscow at home against Russia. We were pretty much outplayed for most of the game, bar a late rallying comeback the last 20 minutes. So, I mean, anyone who's we played really that's been above us, bar Slovakia, who are, you know, in the round and the same level, they've got through very easy in the midfield. So, the benefit of the system, of our supposed system, is supposed to be the midfielder, but you can't see much of a benefit because teams just cut through us quite easily. Not just Spain, even Italy and Croatia, you know, and Russia, as it talks about. So that's not enough reason not to play the likes of McCarthy or, you know, even Hula, and even to try and get him in there. So, I mean, I'm just hoping more than anything else that we might see a few new faces in the team as well as the squad.
Yeah,
but it's kind of hope more than expectation, I think.
Yeah, and James, I've read a lot of transcripts of Trapattoni's interviews when talking about the team, and I know a lot of this gets lost in translation or that, but I hear he named McCarthy, and he said we could have, what we'll do is McCarthy will start alongside Gibson against the Serbs. You know, he said Gibson will play, McCarthy will play. So I'm assuming it's going to be a McCarthy-Gibson central midfield partnership, unless he starts with Whelan and Green?
Yeah, I think he did say that McCarthy would be given the chance. I think what he actually said was McCarthy would start against Serbia with a view to starting against Kazakhstan in place of Andrews.
Yeah.
Now that's encouraging, Dave. But if you're going to start Whelan and Green, we may give up. Like, you know, he's giving this hint that he's prepared to change things, and even that he said he would call up Robbie Brady and Duffy apart, but didn't because they're in an under 21 game. That's all very encouraging. But is that only for this game, Dave? Are these guys coming back and going in the team? And what is the team to play Kazakhstan? Is this kind of what is this exercise about? If it was a whole new world for Ireland, why has he got Keogh and Green and these guys? Why hasn't there been a cull of the squad? I don't know. I don't know what relevance this game has for him.
And James, the argument also that I keep reading from a lot of Irish fans is they make the point, which is probably a little unfair. They keep saying, what would it be like for the lads like Clark and Houlihan to think that players like, and this is quite unfair on the players that are in there, but, you know, they're like, these guys must be sick to think that players like Green and Keogh are getting in ahead of them and stuff like that. That's a little bit hard, is it?
It's harsh, but it's a legitimate question, Dave. They're operating at a lower level. Some of them weren't even getting in the team. Like Green, I think, was deployed in a fullback role and wasn't getting in a poor team. You know, you would be pulling your hair out because what more did Houlihan have to do last season? And you know, you go back to the Kevin Foley thing. There's another guy who you wouldn't blame if he never came back again for Ireland. And it just, the logic is baffling. And you could say, these are guys who know his system and they're able to carry out his instructions, but that's not the case, Dave.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to see a cull. I thought the Euros was a watershed for him. I thought Trapp had seen that these guys weren't able to implement what he wanted when it mattered most. But it looks like, from what he said in the press conference, that he thinks the Euros are a bit of a blip. Like, which is madness. He said if he could start the Euro tomorrow, he'd start with the same team. I don't know, like, what's the logic behind that? There has to be a fresh start, and that means fresh players on form that I keep repeating myself about. But I think it's a legitimate question for Houlihan, especially. What more does he have to do?
Yeah, Joe, what more would he have to do? And we see the striking options. We have Doyle in there. And, you know, it's really been a really bad year and a half, nearly 2 years for poor Kevin Doyle. I mean, he's been a great servant to Ireland. And, you know, the same for, I suppose, Glenn Whelan. But a lot of people are calling for Glenn Whelan to be dropped, and because he's never been out of the squad with Trapattoni. Do you know what I mean? It would be interesting to see. He was never really going to change that much, was he?
I don't think so. I think people calling for a revolution in terms of squad or starting 11, I think, are asking too much. You know, these kind of things just don't happen in football at all. You know, it's rare, and I honestly can't think of any occurrence where, you know, at the end of a tournament, you know, an entire starting 11 is wiped out, and a fresh crop of from the under 21s or underage setup are promoted. I think what we're going to see is kind of slow evolution. I think mentioning Brady and Duffy, I think, is that he wants to address concerns he has about, you know, players on the wing. Maybe, and you think he mentioned as well about someone asked about playing 4-3-3, and he said that, you know, the it puts more pressure on the wingers to score, and, you know, we just don't, their scoring record isn't good enough to justify it. Whereas I think Brady has a particularly strong record of scoring at under 21 level, and he did score some spectacular goals last season at Hull as well. I think so that could be, you know, some inkling of what he's thinking about there. You know, again, with Duffy, he was called up to Trapattoni squad, you know, when he was still, you know, I think only about 17 or 18, when he unfortunately got injured in a training match. So I think he's definitely been part of maybe his long-term plans.
Isn't that the point, Joe? And that's a recurring thing that we have seen with Trapattoni. If you've been called up once, you, no matter what's happened at club season, I'm not using Duffy as an example. I mean, I could use Tracy, we'll say, as an example. If you get called up once, you're going to be called up again. Even if you haven't featured for a while, you're still in the club. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if you have never featured for Ireland and are doing something interesting for your team or that, you spend less of a chance than somebody who might have. Like, I think, you know, Liam Best got called up when he wasn't scoring goal. He was goal shy at Leicester City, but when he went on a little run at Newcastle, he couldn't get anywhere near the team.
Yeah, it's a bit of a conundrum really, because you know people say that once you get called up, then you can constantly call up. But you know, Keith Tracy wasn't part of the setup before, I think, the Argentina friendly, and then he got into the squad for that, and was has obviously been part of his thoughts since then. So you know, I think it's, you know, when people say that, I think that there is a bit of a, you know, if nobody ever got into the squad, then no one would ever get into the squad. But obviously, you know, obviously with, like, say, Duffy and Tracy, and it's just because you mentioned them, you know, they obviously were called into the squad for the first time once and have been called in again and again since then. So it's, you know, saying that players don't get into the squad, it's, I don't know, I think it's a bit of a throwaway line. I looked up before, like, the number of new caps that Trapattoni has handed out, you know, and he does stand up quite well, even against, Staunton and Kerr, you know, his two predecessors. Obviously, Mick McCarthy was in the role a lot longer, and Charlton was longer than that, so you can't really compare. So I think he does call up players, but I think he calls up players to squads rather than bringing them into the team.
Yeah, that's probably a fair point. And John, you know, one team, I suppose the seniors, we play in a certain way that a lot of people wouldn't agree with, but the argument was always that we get results. Another Irish team that seems to be doing very well in both fronts, playing well and getting results, is of course our under-21s. They've got a big clash coming up against Turkey, but it's looking really good for Noel King's men. They have a real chance, and as Joe was saying, there's a lot of really talented, skillful players that King has in the starting lineup.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is the reason, I suppose. I know Trapp said that's why Brady and Duffy are going to be in that squad. It's a crucial game to qualify, but the other thing is, you know, it's a convenient excuse from as well to say that you have to let them go anyway. Would we have seen them apart from that? But yeah, it's good to see the under-21s doing well, and you know, underage success usually breeds up to the senior team, not always directly, but it can do. I mean, you know, Robbie Keane and Zilford are the two biggest examples. They came through all Brian Kerr's underage squads, underage teams that were very good at kind of under 16, under 18. So hopefully we can get a few more that will break through as well, and they might get a chance at the senior team. Well, we've been in manager maybe
Yeah, we'll
see. Yeah,
we'll see. And I mean, the players are playing not just in the UK and Ireland. They're playing. I know Reece Murphy has moved across to Holland to play in the Eredivisie. He might be playing against Barry Maguire, I should say, soon. James, it's exciting for the under-21s. They have a real chance of going to the European Championships or that. One point I will say is we have a lot of quality players in there, and I've watched them play, the likes of Aidan White and that. They're very skillful. Even young Greg Cunningham, who was the captain in the draw against Italy, the way they play, it's very skillful. They've got quick, skillful players, and maybe that's the way forward for the Irish senior team.
Yeah, and there's been discussions about this with is it Vim Kuberman when he moved on, is that should our underage team be playing the same system and formation all the way through? Like, if you take, that's probably Noel King's philosophy, to let them go and let them at it because they're young and let them express themselves. But, like, we're talking about Brady and Duffy being called into Trapp's team, and suddenly they're out in Malahide training ground, and he's telling them, don't go past the halfway line and things like this. And, you know, is it of benefit for them to be called up, to be thrown into a system where they're just so rigid? As John probably said, maybe they're not going to get their chance until Trapp moved on. But success breeds success, as they say. And it's been a long time since we did anything at the 21 level. And I made the remark before, like the Olympic Games is about to start here in London, the football on Wednesday, and the qualification for that is all about underage results.
I think you have to finish third or something, don't you, in a European Championships at under 21.
I think that's it. You need to be in the major championship. So, you know, they're talking about the Brazil team and Neymar and these guys. Like, we're a long way off that, being in an Olympics. You have to start somewhere, and qualifying for tournaments, that's the way ahead.
It certainly is. And John, I'll leave the final point of the show to you, going back to our senior side that's in transition, as Trapattoni would say. He has plans to move things on. The game against Serbia, is it the start of things to come? Are we going to see James McCarthy boss the midfield? Are we going to see Seamus Coleman darting up the right? Are we going to see James McLean really making his statement at international level? Is it all going to happen?
Well, I'd love to see that myself. Whether we do it or not, I would have doubts about that. Andrews obviously isn't going to be used, so that should open the door for McCarthy to come in. But we just don't know. And these comments that Trapps makes in the press about helping to freshen things up, I really won't believe anything until what I see on the pitch. I mean, we said after the Paris game that in 09 that we might start this new brand of attacking football. We showed what we can do when we press high at the pitch. We showed we can play. That's what he said. In the next campaign, it was pretty much back to the same thing again, all the way through the same system. And you've just kind of got even more predictable and almost a bit stale, I think, in terms of the way, in need of a bit of freshness. I mean, I'd love to see McCarthy get a chance to midfield and get used to it. The Seamus Coleman, I've said here many times, I'd like to see him at right back if he could. I think Moyes had talked recently about possibly moving there for Everton because he started off there, of course. So it'd be good to see him there. Whether he will or not is another question. So, I mean, look, we definitely have players there who are capable of freshening things up and are capable of playing better than we were. And the thing is, I don't think we're as bad as we performed in Poland. If things are done differently, I think we can be better. And realistically, I mean, we could have a chance of getting out of the group. We should be talking about it with the squad we have. The second place, obviously, being Germany, you can be very hard to top them in. I suppose if we get a point off them at all,
yeah,
at home, it'd be lucky. You know, I mean, two draws would be brilliant. Even Sweden would be tough to beat. So, you know, unfortunately, if we come out the same way, I can't see us getting the top two. But you never know. You know, you might he might unleash a couple of players that will change the way we play and kind of get better results than we have been against higher quality opposition.
With a bit of luck, we will. Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, lads, on the Why Big Football Show. My thanks to John, Joe and James, and of course our special guest of this evening, Paddy Power. We'll do it all again in the next show. Lads, thanks a million for joining me. Ole, ole, come on the boys in green.